Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
We are on for Thursday afternoon. Hello. Thursday also means the Posh Radio 4 lady will read out the stuff you've been saying on email this week on Dear Scott. Some of those coming up. And Thursday today also means that Paddy McGuinness will be here just after 4:30. Hooray!
Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
What are you saying, Becky?
Oh, I was just telling you that I was really excited because of my train journey last night.
Okay, so you travel between London and Reading every evening.
Yeah.
What made this special?
Well, you let me go 5 minutes early so that I could go to my boyfriend's mum's birthday, which was very kind of you. Thank you very much.
That's right. Did you make that cake?
No, I didn't make... I didn't have time to get a cake in the end. Anyway, that's another story. And
did you tell her that?
No, we didn't turn up with anything, so apart from...
Have I put you in some kind of bad position now?
Probably.
Sorry.
Anyway, those 5 minutes that I didn't do last night, I made up this morning for those who are worried. So I know we'll probably get complaints. People are like, I don't pay my licence fee for her to Skype off. So I made up the time. But
good.
Just to say that, you know.
Excellent, yeah.
But last night on the train...
Yourself,
you have in this day and age. Mm. So last night I was on a really, really busy train and I thought, oh, I can't be bothered to stand in another man's armpit again.
I
went and found... It was amazing. I found the bar on the train and I loved it. I didn't realise it was there. It's there every day, and I've done that journey for 2 years. It's the place to be, and it's my new favourite place.
Surely, like, when I go on trains, it's just a kiosk, which you go and get your overpriced sandwich and maybe some coffee or a beer.
Yeah, it is. I think it is. I think it's the same, but it's got a whole new kind of air to it when it's
can
like
you
that
sit down
sort of
at
evening.
The bar?
No, you can't sit down. You stand like a man at the bar with your nuts and your beer or whatever you're drinking.
But there is a bar.
Well, no, she gets the stuff from behind the counter and then pours it into the
glass. Right, so it's the kiosk that I'm talking about.
It is the kiosk, yeah.
But you're thinking it's some kind of swanky bar.
Well, it feels really different when you're there in the evening.
Really? What
and you're stood there with all the businessmen. I was the only girl in there.
Do they dim the lights a bit?
It was really dark, yeah. And only the crisps were lit up at the back.
Playing darts?
There was no darts, and there was no fruit machine either.
Or was it more sophisticated than that? Was a jazz singer there?
No, but I wish there had been.
And someone playing a piano.
If there was room for that, I would have loved it. But I'm going to go back there tonight. It's my new favourite place. I'm never going to sit down again. That's where I want to be.
Just propping up the bar?
Yeah,
kiosk.
But I need people to start buying me drinks because I can't afford the price. It's really steep
you
prices.
Can't do that.
It's so expensive. It was £3.50 for a Diet Coke.
You're one of those girls that we talked about before that just go to bars and clubs, stand at the bar and flirt a bit and see if the
blokes
get you drinks.
I must have looked
that's
absolutely
you
awful last night because I was the only girl in there and still no drinks.
Did you not drink?
No. I mean, I had to buy my own one, didn't I? Because I've just stood there for 5 minutes, no one was offering, and I just thought, oh, here I go, out comes my fiver.
But surely it's not that far between London and Reading.
No, it's not. So I was like, oh, yeah, this is really nice, casually.
Just settling in.
And then he was like, in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be sure to be arriving to Reading. And I was like, oh, I've still got half my drink left. Really bad outside the Tesco.
Right.
Wasn't good.
Wow.
But yeah, that's my new favourite place.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to that next time. When am I next going on a train?
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
Were you on the Orient Express by mistake? Lee in Halifax wants to know.
No, but I'd love it if I had been.
Just some people are confused by the bar thing, but some people know what you mean and love it. What you should do next time, right? You know, because the stop for Reading was coming up and he hadn't finished a drink.
Yeah.
Get him to save it for you, put it behind the bar for next time. Because you're going to be on there tomorrow, aren't you?
Well, yeah. Tonight, what's wrong with tonight?
You know you're a regular when you've got a bottle behind the bar on a train with Becky written on it.
It's when I go in and they're like, all right, Becky?
Yeah.
Even though it's different, because it's going to be different trains every night, because I don't always finish at the same time.
All right,
once
Becky.
They know my name, it's going to be brilliant.
All right, bar.
Just the usual.
Same again.
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, that was Emily, that was.
What's she saying?
No, I might try and bring her back in a minute. This is Radio 1. Should we do some Dear Scots? Let's do that. The Posh Radio 4 lady with the stuff you're saying this week on email. You can always send me one. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. First one this week.
Dear Scott, Becky and TOTDS. Is it just me, or does the chicken stir-fry girl off of Jamie Oliver sound just like Becky when she did her sexy West Country voice and phoned Dev Direct? Just thought I'd let you know, should fill a bit of airtime. Rob, off of Liverpool.
We don't need to fill a bit of airtime, Rob.
I think I should have edited that bit out, sorry.
Should fill a bit of airtime. This show...
I love it how he imagines the show being put together.
This show is crammed of really good stuff every day. Right, listen.
Stand over there, walk to me and tell me what you're going to cook.
I'm going to cook me some chicken stir fry, yo.
Now you do it.
I'm going to... Oh, no, I'm copying him. Hang on.
I'm going to cook me some chicken stir fry, yo.
West Country.
I'm going to cook me some chicken stir fry, yo.
Same.
I'm going to cook me some chicken stir fry, yo.
It's quite similar.
That's a boy.
I know.
Bless him.
Oh, loads of people want to hear the song again now.
Stand over there, walk to me, and tell me what you're going to cook.
I'm going to cook me some chicken stir fry, yo. Yo, chicken stir fry, yo, yo. Chicken stir fry, yo, yo. Chicken stir fry, yo.
You can do it, brother. Come on, let's talk, brother. Don't be scared. Come on, brother. Toss that thing. Get down, brother. Get down. Yeah, man. Get down.
Yes, mother. Mother.
When you start taking girls out and they say, what do you want to do? Do you want to go bowling? Do you want to go for a little pizza? You go... No, baby, you come round my house and I'm going to make you a nice little chicken chow mein.
There we are. If you want the rest of it, you can get it on the podcast. It's still on there. And I'm really sorry if that's just left your head after last week and then we put it back in again. Next.
Dear Scott, I don't think people coming into shops asking for silly things is unique to Blackpool.
Oh, I thought it was. Because we had a stream of emails from people saying that weird people do come in and ask for weird things in just in the Blackpool area.
I once worked in a bike shop in Knowle. Not Noel West, in Bristol. A man once came into the shop and said, do you have one of these? And showed us a small valve. It was like nothing we had ever seen before for a bike. The mature lady that helped me in the shop then asked what it was. He replied it was a part off an oven. She then asked him with a very straight face if it was gas or electric. When he replied that it was gas, she told him that he was out of luck as we only did bits for electric ovens. With that, he said, now you're being silly. I know you don't do parts for electric ovens. This is a bike shop. And stormed off in a huff. Cheers for now, Andy Grant.
Well, cheers for that story, Andy. So it spread to Bristol as well.
I can imagine that.
In Knowle.
I don't know that particular area. Of
well,
Bristol,
I do.
And? Yeah. Was that you then?
No, it wasn't me.
That's the sort of thing you would do, though, is take a bit from something else and go, have you got this?
Yeah.
Into a completely wrong shop.
It really
then,
is.
And then blame them for you being a bit weird.
Yeah. I did that with a Hoover part once. I didn't go to a bike shop, but I went to a shop that clearly didn't serve any Hoover parts ever.
Where did you take it?
I can't remember. Maybe just like...
A chicken shop?
No. It wasn't that stupid.
Well, maybe it was like... a massive long Hoover.
Okay, maybe it was a locksmith. But it looked from the outside like they might do bits for like a vacuum.
Oh, like one of all those sort of a bit of everything shops.
Yeah, but they didn't. It was just locks. Next.
Dear Scott, Becky, TOTDS and Posh. Bonjour. I'm in France for 7 months as part of my degree. And French radio and telly are rubbish.
Well, some stations in France I quite like.
I quite like French. French quiz shows are quite funny.
Are they?
Yeah. Because they always have crazy hosts.
Yeah, wacky. I quite like some of the French radio because they do... they play songs that we don't, with all the words left in. And they like Mika. All I hear when I go to France is Mika. Pretty much. Next.
I've put the link to the current number one song at the end.
Yes.
I'm scared it could be the new Crazy Frog.
Okay, so this is the current number one in France right now.
Anyway, your podcasts are keeping me sane. Please keep making them, at least until I come home in May. Thanks loads. Je t'aime. Amy in Avignon, France. P.S. The cheese and wine here is lush, though. You'd love it.
There it is. So this is the number one in France right now, proving that it is a bit different, even though it's not that far away. So this is a song by René the Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
Mignon, mignon.
Okay.
Which I think means cute, cute.
Shall I translate the words? Okay. For the non-French speakers. Here goes. The number one. Official number one in France.
Ce qui me plaît chez toi, c'est ton petit bidon.
What I like about you is your puppy fat. I find your little love handles cute. Even if others find you a bit too fat. For me, it's comfortable when you take me in your arms. You're so cute, 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 but fat, fat, fat. Cute, 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 but fat, fat, fat. In the summer, you make a shadow. In winter, you keep me warm. And when you finish stuffing your face, you release a massive fart. That is just some of mignon, mignon.
Oh, can we have a bit more, okay, please?
Oh, no.
Yes! You need to Google the video for this, René the Beaver. He's such a cute little cartoon character.
It's going on about your little bottom and chubby legs now.
Did you say there's loads of vitamins in chocolate?
Here we go. What he just said there was there are lots of vitamins in chocolate to keep healthy, but you never stop eating. You take the mickey out of skinny people and you find yourself the most beautiful. Today you're proud of eating too many calories.
Love, love, love him.
The number one song in France right now, René Le Beaver. Yes. Right, that's enough now. Podcast. Paddy McGuinness, hello.
Hello, hello, webcam people. How are you?
You're
nice,
right?
Nice to be on a webcam where I'm not using my credit card.
Yeah, I'm that. You're right.
I'm not so bad, are you? You went, yeah.
Nice little insight there. He was going to go, yeah, I know, and then he realised where he was and decided
Especially after the Hotel Erotica incident.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'm really good, yeah.
Good. Last time I saw you was when I was on the This Morning sofa.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were the other way around, that one. How did you go on in Edinburgh?
Oh, God.
moving on.
No, it was really good. I was so scared. We each had to do a one-man show.
Yeah.
And it went well. We had a really good week.
Yeah.
Like, as I said to you on This Morning, it wasn't stand-up.
No.
It was the Jason Bourne story to the music of ABBA.
Yeah.
It went surprisingly well, but I was cacking myself beforehand. It was horrible. There was like a panic cupboard next to the stage, and I was just in there going, more Rescue Remedy, anybody?
But I tell you what, it's a lovely feeling though when you've done it.
Oh, it was brilliant.
And everyone's clapping and what have you. It's nice, that, yeah. Lovely. Smashing.
I like it that
great.
You do this.
Oh, what a Jimbo in there.
Oh, I like it when you do This Morning sometimes.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. I was a bit surprised when they asked me to do it, to be honest.
Why?
Well, it's daytime TV and it's you know, and I thought, do they trust me with this? You know, and it's live and what have you, but I really enjoyed it. Mm. Yeah, it was great.
What's your favourite bit? Is it like the cooking or the fashion or the medical problems?
Well, it was funny because I presented it on 2 days, and I did one day with Kate Thornton and another day with Amanda Byron, and I just said to them both, there was one section where it was talking about women's kind of time of the month kind of problems. I went, you do that, Amanda.
Yeah. Over to you there.
I'll just sit there and I'll go, ooh, terrible, yes. Yeah. And there was another bit about infidelity or something, and I was like, yeah, you take over again. I'll just sit here and look at
Did they do any makeovers when you're wrong? Because I find it hard not to laugh at those sometimes.
They did a makeover when I was on, and Abby Clancy was the style guru on that one. Mm. And this lady, it was her 60th birthday, and they dolled her up, and they come out, and I said, right, Abby, talk us through this lady's outfit. And she went, oh, well, it's great, this, and we got her this lovely dress. It was £500. And I'm like, whoa, Abby, whoa, this is this morning. This lady's not married to a Premiership footballer. Yeah. 500 quid.
Think I mean, budget,
you
know, Abby.
Let's get a bit of a grip here. You know, I'd like to do so. I could doll someone up from Matalan. Mm. It'd look fantastic.
Thing is, I went on with Eamon and Ruth once.
Yeah.
Arguing all the way through the break.
And then
on screen.
Yeah.
But I had to stuff a pillow in my mouth because they were doing midwife makeover. Right. And it was just all sorts of hilarious.
No, I know. It does. You kind of... It's a surreal process doing that show because for me, right from at college you kind of watch it and it's a bit of an institution, and then next minute you're doing it, you know. But I really, really did enjoy it, and it went really quick, and I liked all of it. Really, it's just a bit of a laugh.
Does Gino's enthusiasm ever get a bit too much?
He's kind of like, I thought, does he put it on for the cameras? But then I met him.
Hey!
And he's like, yeah, hey, Scapari and all this, carry on what he goes on about, like, I'm like, whatever it is, Campari and soda, I don't know what he's saying, but I just go, yeah, brilliant, Gino, like, because his teeth are so white.
It's all about the teeth.
I'm just like, that's what I look at when I talk to him, I just look at his mouth, it's fantastic. But, yeah, no, it was that, and then there was Gizzy, she's called, the girl who were cooking
Dizzy
the...
Erskine. Yeah, she was on like Cook Yourself Thin, wasn't she?
Yeah. So she was good. She made a nice chocolate cake with tea in it.
Okay.
A double fret cake. A cake and a brew, but in one. I mean, I was like, get that on Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Now, last time you were on, you promised that Becky could be one of the girls on Take Me Out.
Yeah, well...
When's that happening?
I mean, look of shock on his face.
Meet us halfway and apply. Oh. You know, you've got to apply.
I thought you agreed last time. What happened?
Yeah,
last
I thought
time?
I was getting through the audition process. Yeah, but I thought maybe you skipped I still through had
that
to
bit.
Apply.
Oh, right. I see. Yeah. You want me to? I thought I was just on. You want me to? What's the name? Turn a few screws. Yeah. Pull a few strings.
Yeah.
Fix Jimmel.
Yeah.
Jimmel. Right, I'll have a look into that then for
Thanks.
You. We do it at the end of this month, so...
And if you need any guys, then I'd like to put my friend up who... He's just changed his name from...
We do need men.
Do you?
Yeah, because they've just extended the run, and I got a call from the producer going, oh, we need some more men. Can you mention it on RTV.com/take me out? If you're a single man and you want to be on the show, bang.
Right, I've got somebody. My friend Gary Bint has just changed his surname.
Yeah. Sorry?
Gary Bint.
Yeah, I thought that's what you said. Yeah.
But he's changed it to Gary McFly now by Deed Poll because he likes the band.
I think he'd be perfect.
I can't understand why he's single.
Well, exactly. But he would lap up a bit of Take Me Out.
Well, yeah, shall we get him on?
Can we get Gary McFly on?
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
Right,
he's looking for love.
I don't want to be on that episode. That's okay. I just think it would be a bit obvious if both of us were in the same show.
Yeah. Space them out a bit.
Yeah. Hey, they're going abroad on this series. They've pushed the boat. So yeah, Tenerife.
Really?
Brilliant. So Fernando is still in it, but he's had his club shut down now because of the recession. Mm-hmm. But he's doing pedalos on the beach, so they're going to be seeing Fernando, but in another guise. So it should be nice.
Love that. When's that back on, please?
It's on in January.
Is it?
But we start filming it at the end of this month.
Okay. Well, if unlucky Gary doesn't find somebody by then, we'll get him on. Definitely.
He won't.
Now, I've just been reading your book, actually.
Yeah.
Which is called My Guide to the North.
I like how you say a book.
Well, I did that just for you.
Thank you.
And it's, in here, it's how to tell if you're northern.
Yeah.
That's a bit.
It's a bit of a stereotypical look at all northern towns and cities and what northern people think of people in the south.
Oh, right, okay. So in the north, you only have a TV with just one speaker.
We have flat screen TVs in the north, but they're not technically a flat screen TV. It's a normal television with a massive big back on it.
Right.
But we put a hole in the wall and slide it in until it becomes a flat screen television.
My mate actually did that. I was there when he cut out the bit of the wall. And me and my boyfriend at the time were there holding it up, trying to line it up so that he could put the.
Yeah,
the
see? This method in the madness.
So it looks like
a flat screen.
Amazing.
It looks like one. Amazing.
But don't do that if you live in a terraced house.
doesn't go down well with the neighbours.
Everyone owns a coal scuttle, that's in there.
Yeah, yeah. And can I also say, you know, it really is, it's like a... I'm lampooning a travel guide in that book, but I don't want... You're always going to get a mentalist, like, you know, some bloke in Swindon giving it... I was horrified what he put about Swindon. Right, yeah. Don't take it serious. It's just a bit of...
No, fun. It's not as serious. But
it's a little bit like Viz letterbox kind of style when I were writing out. That's what I was thinking in my head. So people can't think I'm being actually serious about the stuff in there.
There's Blackpool in there.
Everything's in there.
Bolton.
And can I just say, when you see the front cover, if you see it in the shops, I'm not happy about them making me look like a blow-up doll.
Yeah, you do.
You've got a nice lipstick on and that.
It's not, it's a caricature.
The colours, haven't they?
It's a caricature.
But, it's
but I'm not sure of what.
Yeah, it is an odd...
It's not enough of a caricature for you to instantly go, that's a caricature.
No, it's not
like,
exactly.
Oh, there's Paddy with some lipstick on.
This is,
what's he doing now?
Exactly. Oh, he's doing a book on Madame Two Swords or something. Yeah, it's not a good look.
I like the Paddy's vouchers as well.
Yeah.
Well, what can
you
get?
Well, some of them are missing... Because we had the book done in Liverpool, which is what I talk about, and there's another stereotype for you. Yeah, that'll get me in trouble.
You can go. You can get a free Fabergé egg.
Yes.
You can also get Roxy's Nightclub in Carlisle.
Yeah.
Present it to the cloakroom staff.
Yeah. Nice.
And they give you a free coat or jacket.
Well, you can use that when you play there, Scott.
Yeah. It won't be long.
But I talk about all sorts in that book, you know. But it is. I have just kind of. Took the stereotypes of places like Newcastle and Liverpool and Bolton, my hometown and whatever, and I've just gone to town on them, really.
Yeah.
You know, and same with the South. The South gets a bit of a rough deal in it, but hey, come on.
Do you still live in the North?
I do, of course I do, yeah. I was just before I came on this show, I was having something to eat over the road. Who do I bump into? Vernon Kay.
Oh.
So he sits down and we're having a bit of a chat and I'm having a baguette. Right, as I'm in London.
Yeah.
And so we're chatting away, and he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm just going over onto Scott Mills' show. He went, oh, thanks very much. Thanks very much. What about my show? And, you know, you're not about Northerners and this, that, and other. What about doing my show? I said, Vern, I'm not being funny. You live in Kent.
Yeah.
You're not even a Northerner anymore. Stop pretending on the telly, giving it. I'm Vernon Kay from Bolton.
Have you Northerners disowned him?
We've disowned
him. Is he
I've
in
told
there
him
for crimes
today.
To the North? Because there's quite a few
I've
people.
I've told him
there.
Today, I said, you're a sellout, Kay.
Traitor.
Yeah, traitor. Giving it the old look at me, Bolton and all that. He's down here, Mr. Telly, Mr. TV. Is
sometimes you hear him with an American accent as well. That's really weird.
Well, this is it, yeah. But at the end of all that, I did say I'd ring in his show tomorrow.
Oh, that's good.
Smooth things
up. I don't think he's on tomorrow.
Oh, sorry, what day is it
Saturday?
Today? Saturday, sorry, yeah. There you are, you see.
So I bet he's got scented candles the lot now.
Oh, he has. Yeah, of course he will. He's changed. Hey, he looked well, though.
Yeah,
he'd just been on this morning, funnily enough.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
I had the Prime Minister on today as well. I was watching earlier.
Really?
Yeah, with Gino behind going, hey, Prime Minister!
You're joking.
Yeah, he can't... Right in the back of the shot with his big teeth.
Magical.
I know.
Absolutely magical.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Do you do stand-up anymore?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to tour at the end of next year. But what I do when I'm not touring is you get asked to do corporate, so you keep your hand in with that, do a little bit and what have you. But
Do awards and stuff? Like, we discussed this before, Rob Brydon's got the market pretty covered there. He does he does like the Meat Pie Awards 2010, he does them all.
Yeah, I got asked to do a few of them, but, you know, sometimes it's like other end of country and you think, oh, no. But Rob, he loves them.
Yeah, he does love them.
I want to speak to Rob. I want to speak to him because he's got a lovely head of hair.
He has, very
Which has come
luxurious.
From nowhere.
Yeah.
And mine's on its way out, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get a few tips off. He's putting something on that.
Do you reckon?
Some kind of lotion or potion. I don't reckon, Scott. I've got eyes. Now, about a year and a half ago, he looked like Yul Brynner. I put the telly on over there. I thought Suzanne Boyle were on. So, Rob, if you're listening, get in touch. You know who my agent is. Come on.
He could make
sure
a fortune if he said what it was, yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Because I get it. Yeah.
Hi, it's fantastic.
Hello, I'm Rob Ryder. Look at my new luxurious hair.
Oh,
if it's
honestly,
thicker than
God.
Mine, I'm going to go mad. I don't like men with thicker hair than me.
I put it on the other day. He was that hurry. I thought I were tuned into Animal Crackers.
I've not noticed it, but now I will.
Oh, you'll see it.
Yeah, very
fantastic.
Much so. Okay, I'll look that up.
Yeah, I mean, we're not letting out any secrets there, are we?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, come on, you know, I know Rob, he's a lovely bloke. I don't think he'll mind. But I'm just saying, you know, spread it out to the rest of us, Rob.
Tell us about the interview that you did before this one today.
What, before this? Oh, yes, yeah, sorry, I did an interview for BBC Newcastle. Mm-hmm. And they said to me, can I just say your book smells gorgeous? We've all been sniffing it all day.
It does, it's amazing.
And I've come in, you've said this.
Do you know what I said to you? The first thing I said was, can I just say your book smells incredible? Because I got it out of the envelope.
Didn't.
Huh?
You didn't say that.
I did, that
she
was the first I said.
Did,
all
yeah.
right, how are you, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What have you been up to? And then, your book smells
gorgeous, yeah.
It's really good. If you go,
it smells like a book. You're both mad.
Let me have a smell,
no,
Scott.
It's way
pass
stronger.
Have you not smelt your own book?
No. Well, no. Funnily enough, I've not. No.
Just have a whiff.
It wasn't top of my list to do.
Just flick the pages a bit. It's good.
Yeah,
isn't it?
See what you.
It's good.
That is the glue. I'm told there's different types of glue. No, and I'm not saying that in a way like of the early 80s when you used to see your mate down
don't
the back street.
Sniff
nothing
her.
Like that.
No.
Don't do that, kids. No. That's terrible. But I'm saying, I see what you're saying there, though. Go on, get on that. Have a go.
It's got a nice little smell.
Have a go.
This is weird.
Oh.
Right, so there we are.
Just go
you
to
can
the shop and have a quick sniff.
As well. Yeah.
You don't have to buy
that
it.
That won't look weird.
Yeah.
Just a... Yeah. I'll put that back.
Ew. Just get loads of... Yeah, check your copy before you buy it.
Yeah.
Please do. It hasn't got someone else's...
It's not been pre-sniffed.
...on it.
By the way...
All the pages stuck together.
We've got Minnie, one that doesn't speak in today, by the way. He's running the show today. It's part of his school
project. I've
seen
him, yeah. Hello. You can't speak.
He's not allowed to speak. This is the one that doesn't speak, and this is Minnie, one that doesn't speak.
Oh,
but
right.
They both don't speak.
Can they get on camera?
Yeah, that's allowed. But what's going to happen eventually is when the one that doesn't speak kind of eventually his reign is over and he's off, then this one will take over. It's a bit like Kim Jong-il.
More like it.
Is that Kim Jong-un at the back then?
Yeah, he's the new one that will take over eventually one day. Yeah, that's it.
I like that, yeah.
Isn't
it
meant to be a bit more secretive than us knowing all about him already?
I don't know.
It's all right.
Paddy, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Is that it?
That's pretty much it. We've got to do the news now.
Do you know what I might do? Do you know what I might do?
What?
I might go and nip and see Westwood.
Oh, good Lord.
Because he is my idol.
You do love him. I remember this before.
I used to be massively into hip-hop at school, mate. Yeah. And I thought, I'll just go in and say hello to him while I'm here.
Westwood is on our sister station, BBC Radio 1 Extra at the moment, with extra R&B and extra hip-hop. And you like that kind of thing. So you'll be in there for at least an hour, though.
There's a line I don't like to cross. I might just wave through the window.
You're all right, because he'll be in news till 5:15. So.
I do. I've always wanted. I've never met him.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, he would love to meet you.
Oh,
honestly.
I'm in there. I'm going to go
right,
in.
Right, okay.
I'm going to go in.
Thanks,
Bang.
Paddy.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Paddy McGuinness, everyone.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1.
What is the one subject you want to know more about? Well, here's where you find out on Coxopedia. Sarah Cox is the master of knowledge. She knows absolutely everything.
I'm the master, I'm the mistress, I'm the bit on the side of knowledge.
Fill in the form online, bbc.co.uk/radio1, and be part of this experience. Coxopedia. Hello, Alana.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, how are you?
I'm all right, tell us where you are.
I'm in Nottinghamshire.
Hi, Alana.
Hi, Sarah.
She's got the knowledge.
Is Nottinghamshire a bit of a clue?
It is, yes.
Oh, Robin Hood and Merry Men and Merry Women.
It is. It's Robin Hood.
Oh, oh it is? Okay. What are we doing? I never guess.
Go!
Oh, no! Okay. Robin Hood, riding through the glade. Yes, who's that coming over there? It's Robin Hood. Don't worry if you're skint. He ain't going to rob you. He's going to rob you if you're loaded. He was a bit of a hottie. He had a moustache. He was sort of swung around in trees with Brian Adams, who used to follow him singing, "How we doing, if in for love." but I wouldn't do that. He was also a fan of meatloaf. Robin Hood hung around with a big fat monk, which was just weird, but he was a really nice guy. And all the other guys, they had like funny names. Like there was one who was called Tiny because he was massive and fat. There was like Skinny who was fat. And they all just used to hung around in the forest. He used to just rob everyone basically in Nottingham. And then who's that coming over? Oh, she's got a pointy hat that's a bit like a traffic cone. It's Maid Marian. She can horse ride, she can fist fight, she can love. And that's what she did with Robin Hood. They went on to have lots of children, including Beverly Hood, who you may know from the R&B charts, who has been very popular in more recent times. There we go. Good. Hey.
Wow. That's a lot of information packed in there, wasn't there, Alana?
There was. I never knew Robin Hood was a meatloaf fan, which is new thing for me.
Yeah, he was.
How much of that did you know, be honest?
Not a lot, actually.
I didn't know
they had lots of kids and things like that.
That's the point of Coxopedia, you see. You walk away now with a whole lot more knowledge of Robin Hood.
Yeah. I do, definitely.
Good. Thanks, Alana.
Thanks, Alana.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you too, bye. Coxopedia.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Nathan in Essex has been on saying, I bet I know a subject that Sarah Cox knows nothing about. Really? Well, fill in the form then. Coxopedia form on my pages at bbc.co.uk/radio1. While you're there, you can see the video of 303 who we just played. They came in yesterday. They had a little chat with us about Matt Damon and stuff. And then did some interpretive dance, as you do. It's online, bbc.co.uk/radio1. Rihanna tomorrow, big guest. Someone on the text has been like, well, I don't care about Rihanna, really. Is the one that doesn't speak going to speak tomorrow? We launched a campaign yesterday to get the one that doesn't speak's Twitter followers up to 1 million. How's it going, Becky?
There's been some progress. He's now got 6,447, which is 6,000 more than he had at this time yesterday, but I don't think we're going to make 1 million by...
The promise was that if the one that didn't speak got 1 million Twitter followers by tomorrow, he would do some of the show. He wanted to do the floor fillers tomorrow night, and I'd love to hear that.
I've tried my best. I tweeted Sarah Cox and Chris Moyles, both who've got loads of followers, and neither did a retweet or replied, so I don't...
Right, well, we're not going to give up, are we?
Well, it hasn't really got the celebrity backing it needs to...
Yes, but who's coming in tomorrow? Think about it. Think about it. Rihanna?
Yeah.
She's got millions of followers. She must have.
So if she could maybe... Wouldn't it be amazing if it
a
suddenly
last minute
went
jolt.
From like 7,000 to 1 million?
Yeah.
Just because of Rihanna?
So don't worry, we're not giving up hope because we have got an A-list star, like a proper star coming in tomorrow, Rihanna. She's got probably billions of Twitter followers. So we'll get her to tweet it, get her followers on board. Good morning.
Yes, she's got 1.635 million.
Right, there we are, see? This is going to be easy. We'll get to 1 million by tomorrow. You could help, though, now by following at TOTDS. That's at TOTDS. Please do it. It's our 1 million follower on Twitter challenge for the one that doesn't speak. Tomorrow, if he gets 1 million, he will break his silence.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
And now, oh, I love it that Stupid Street are back. They've been back this week. We've not spoken to them for a while. Now, Becky, let me ask, and I ask you at home as well, or in the car, or wherever you are, on the bus, on the way home, do you think they're very argumentative on Stupid Street? Do you?
Yeah. Lots of debates.
What kind of things do you think that they would have a debate or argue about?
Whether the Liberal Democrats should have formed the coalition with the Conservatives.
Yeah, OK, I was going to say that one, or whether we should have gone to war with Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, OK. Well, Smooth Talking Dan has been out onto Stupid Street, and he asked them, what was the last argument you had, and what was it about? So what are you going for as one of the answers? I'll give you a point.
The successor to Kim Jong-il in North Korea.
Okay,
that
can be one. So let's widen that out a bit.
I'm going to say North Korea.
Yeah, what's happening in North Korea? Yeah. What's going to happen in North Korea? Okay, right, well, let's find out. What
was the last argument you had?
With one of my best friends, I argued about a chick flick. I'm not too proud of it, but we were watching Devil Wears Prada. One lady sold out one of her good workers, and I thought that was wrong.
So you had like a sort of a moral, real debate and argument about the Devil Wears Prada?
I was shouting. It got intense.
You look quite angry now, just thinking about it.
I am. It fumes me up inside.
Blue Smarties. No, the ones, the new ones. The
Blue Smarties, yeah.
And it really was quite strange. One of my mates at school, and he's kind of arguing whether it's worth bringing them in. You know, the old ones were really blue. New ones are like powder sky blue. But yeah, it escalated. Yeah.
You got nasty?
Getting very nasty.
Fisticuffs over it, or?
Very close.
We purchased our first Hoover as a couple, which is a big thing anyway.
That is big.
It's a big deal. I took it home, put it together, read the manual, and started hoovering. Martha said I was hoovering wrong. Don't know if you can hoover right, but I was hoovering incorrectly.
What is he doing wrong?
Just wasn't doing it the way that I would do it. And obviously the way that I would do it is the right way. So he was hoovering for about 10 minutes, and I'm just sitting there and getting more and more angry. And eventually I just grabbed it off him, told him to go in the bedroom, shut the door, and started doing hoovering myself.
Right, Martha's talking rubbish there. How can you hoover wrong?
Well, unless he was, like, going round the bits of fluff rather than who's going over them.
It's a ridiculous argument to have.
I like your cardigan, by the way.
Thank you.
It's nice. It is actually a bit stained. What was the last argument you had?
The other day I had an argument with my brother because he wanted to use my lighter and I didn't give it to him, so he threw a table at me. It was pretty intense.
He threw a table at you?
Yeah, I think he's going through teen angst.
Did it hurt? Or was
no,
it okay?
No, I missed it by literally like a millimetre. I think he was only joking, but like it did nearly knock me out.
The last argument I had was when I went to IKEA to sort out my room for uni, and she picked up a bin for £20, and I was like, "Whoa, I was like, I don't want a bin for £20." She was like, "Well, you're having a bin for £20, and that's that." And I was like, "No, I'm not. I don't want a bin for £20." She was like, "Well, you're having a bin for £20, and that's that." And I was like, "No, I'm not. I don't want a bin for £20." It was the most ridiculous thing, and I walked off. That was probably my last
time. An argument over a bin.
Yeah.
And you stormed out of IKEA.
Yeah.
That takes quite a long time, was it, to get out. But yeah.
Whoa, I thought she'd got stuck then. I think she was ever going to stop. I said, no, I'm not having a bin. And it just went round and round.
Dan's right, though. It is really hard to get out. Once you're in, you're in. You can't get out. Because there's that weird one-way system, and then you end up in the market with all the fake trees, and then you've got to end up in someone else's bedroom.
I know. Also, maximum smooth points to smooth talking down on that one.
I like your cardigan, by the way.
Thank you.
It's nice. It is actually a bit stained.
Let's do some Dear Scott action. What have you been saying to us this week on email? We're about to find out.
Dear Scott, Becky, PR4L, TOTDS, Tulip, Gemma. Oh, that's all the people I can remember. Sorry, I like to include everyone. Laughing smiley.
That's very kind of you.
I keep having a recurring situation on the bus home from school. The bus driver has Radio 1 on the way home, and there is always a song on that I love when I'm getting off the bus.
Oh.
Which is good, but I keep embarrassing myself when instead of saying thank you to the bus driver, I say the lyrics to the song instead, which can prove embarrassing for both me and the driver.
Yeah. My dad does this actually sometimes.
For example, I've said, "I ain't undercover," from Katie on a Mission to him. I've also said, "You are the best thing that's ever been mine," from Mine by Taylor Swift.
Oh, God.
And also, "I might get your heart racing," off of Katy Perry.
Yeah, no, my dad doesn't do that. He just sometimes gets the song names wrong and quotes a lyric or a line from the song instead.
Basically, the list goes on. And it seems the more I try to avoid saying the lyrics, the more I do. Any advice on how I can stop this before I end up having to walk the 8 miles home from school? Kira, off of Northern Ireland. High five. Or does that only work via phone? Laughing smiley.
Yeah, it kind of does, really. Not so much on the email, but I'll give you one anyway.
I was going to say maybe just put your phone to your ear like you're talking to someone else, so then he doesn't think you're talking... I might be a woman bus driver. So that you're talking to them.
My advice is to listen to me say the song titles more clearly. Because I do often say what they're called.
It's not the song title she's getting wrong. The problem is that in her ear, she's listening to the song and then she's singing along and then says it to the bus driver rather than thanks when she gets off.
Okay, well, that's just plain weird. Yeah, stick to Becky's advice is my tip on that one.
Your advice is to stick to my advice.
Yeah, next.
Hi, Scott. I put my sausage casserole in the oven but didn't take any notice of the time, and now I don't know whether it's cooked or not. When I put it in the oven, Sarah was on doing her Coxopedia. Could you tell me what time that was? Then I can work out if my casserole's ready. Thanks, love. Rena, off of Fleet.
When was this sent?
I don't know. It would have been in the last week.
Oh, we're too late. Your casserole's done, Rena, love.
I hope she's okay.
So do I.
She'd have realised it would have smelt by now.
Yeah, can you write back and tell us you're all right, please?
Oh, I have never had a sausage casserole, but I imagine that I'd love it.
Is it similar to a toad in the hole?
No, because that's got loads of puffy bits. That's like made with batter, isn't it? But casserole's like...
I don't
juicy.
Trust casserole generally.
Do you not?
No.
I love it.
No, really.
Not even dumplings.
No.
My boyfriend hates. I could just eat dumplings the rest of my life.
No, really not.
They're amazing.
No. Horrible.
Like a massive one.
No.
So good.
You never entirely know what's gone into a casserole.
That's why you don't really eat it. You eat like the gravy and the dumplings and then just sort of go and sort of push the meat and carrots around a bit and then just ask for more dumplings.
Not my favourite. Anyway, Rena, please write back and let us know you're all right. We don't know what day that got sent in, so it could have been any time, but I would safely say it's done by now. Next!
Dear Scott, oi oi Savaloy, TOTDS and PR4L.
All right.
I've just moved to your beloved Southampton for university. In fact, my student residence is called Scott, and every day I get to walk past a huge picture of your face, along with Craig David, off of Bow, and Martin Whitmarsh, off of Formula One.
Why is there a picture of me?
This has got to be a joke. There's no way they'd name a whole university building after you. And even if they did, they'd have got you down to open it and cut the ribbon.
Why is there a big picture of me and Craig David?
However, as I was sitting in a park having lunch the other day, some fellow male students came walking past, shouting various football chants. They all sounded gibberish to me. However, one of them made me chuckle. As one of them shouted, "Oi, oi!" another shouted, "Savaloy!" right afterwards. This made me laugh so loudly that I woke an old man sitting next to me, who then looked angrily at a passing young child, as if to tell her off for waking him up.
What a funny sequence of events.
I know. How we laughed.
I silently packed my bag and left the area ridden with guilt, unable to finish my lunch. Love the show and the podcasts. Tom, off of Lewis, and now Southampton.
Well, cheers, Tom. If you could send me more details about the picture and the building called Scott, I'd like to hear that. That's odd.
Mm.
Is the one called Craig as well?
What if they've painted, like, in sort of graffiti, like, massive pictures of... Maybe the whole building's shaped like your head so they can get loads of students in? Like, 'cause Big Moon, and then they can just get loads of students in?
Do you think there's a picture of me looking like a bit of a dictator?
I've told you this. If I tell you once, I'll tell you again. When you start speaking a word, don't pause halfway through the middle of the word, because sometimes it can lead to problems.
Well, let's just move on from that and pretend it didn't happen. Next.
Dear Scott, I'm going to have a rant, if you don't mind.
Oh, God.
Why do girls insist on wearing bikinis in a swimming pool? This is my local swimming pool in Cheddar, nowhere warm or exotic, and stand there taking over the shallow end, talking.
Girls are allowed to wear bikinis in swimming pools, generally.
No, I think more of the issue is the fact they don't do any swimming. This is my kind of swimming and I love it.
They stand there showing off their toned, slim bodies, well, while the rest of us are there swimming our guts out to try and achieve that look. They have no idea that by standing there in the shallow end, us swimmers can't complete tumble turns, and most of the time can't even push off the edge because they're all stood in the way.
Well, if you can do tumble turns, you're a show-off.
I'm not being funny. We're doing you a favour. We cut off, like, 2 metres at the end. You can claim you've done more lengths than you really have.
They clearly have no intentions to use swimming as a form of exercise.
No.
So why don't they go away? You don't see people in the gym just stood around practically naked, just talking. Sorry for shouting.
Doing the
Carly,
changing room.
Off of Near Cheddar, XX.
I used to love that. Now, me and my housemate, when I was at university, we joined a gym. It was a health club, actually, and we got a student discount. It was really good.
Yes.
And it was really posh. And we used to go there and pretend to exercise, but actually we didn't. Me and him, we just used to sit in the pool, sit at the end, did like 2 lengths per time, and then we'd always have a cake in the cafe afterwards because we deserved it because we'd done the exercise.
I used to do that also with my friend Radio Roger.
Oh!
Radio
yes.
Roger, yeah.
I'd imagine him in his gym gear.
No, but what we used to do, when I lived in Bristol, same, we got some passes and it was a lot cheaper to go to the health club. Used to get in the pool, yeah, do about two, three max.
Yeah, then go and sit in the sauna for a bit. That was a really good exercise. You used loads of weight.
No actual exercise at all went on, no. But it was brilliant.
Even in the gym bit, we used to hang around.
Did you?
Yeah, just sit on the medicine balls, having a chat, watching the telly.
But not doing any actual gym work.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Maybe do like 5 minutes of rowing, because that wasn't too harsh.
But like you, we always used to treat ourselves afterwards.
Yes, because you deserve it.
We could have a cake now, we've done exercise. Right, send me anything you want to know, or anything you want to tell us. I like it. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. If you would be so kind as to mark your email with Dear Scott in the subject, then that would be brill. Thanks.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Becky, tomorrow, can you remind me to ask Rihanna about Katy Perry and when she went out with her on her hen do thing?
Yeah, are you sure that was her hen do?
Well, it just looked like a good night out.
Pictures in heat, and yeah, they were all sitting by the pool looking
I think it was because Rihanna was wearing L plates and downing some WKD blue.
Ah, so, of course. So we never have nights like that, do we?
We should.
We should just go and sit by the pool in our bikinis and
In our skin tight jeans.
Oh, do you know what? I'm so bored of her now.
Why?
I'm so bored of her. I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm bored of girls who go on about how hot they are all the time. And I'm bored, so bored
Rant.
Of her going, look in at me and my skin tight jeans. Look
I might get your heart racing.
Yeah. Look how hot I am. Look at me. Look how skin tight my jeans are.
I can make your heart race.
She's been wearing them for months now. They
and
stink.
I know it. Yeah, they stink. That was Katy Perry and Teenage Dream on Radio 1. In my smelly jeans. And now, I'm quite shocked by that rant. That's been building up for a while, I can tell.
Do you know what? That's been stored for about 3 weeks now.
Whoa.
The Scott Mills Daily.
You know Zac Efron? He's quite cool.
Yeah, Kate Garraway off Daybreak did a weird tweet about him the other day and I didn't quite understand it.
What?
Something about her son and her husband and Zac Efron. And I could kind of get what she was trying to say, but it came out a bit odd.
Was she comparing her husband to Zac Efron?
No, she said she really liked him and wanted him... Oh, I can't remember, but I remember thinking, that's really strange. I wouldn't have put that.
If you want to have a Kate Garraway rant now, go for
it. No, I love Kate. I love her. A lot of people are saying just if you wear skin-tight jeans, it doesn't necessarily mean you're hot. Some people wear them and they're accidentally skin-tight.
Oh.
So.
Anyway.
Back to Zac Efron.
Yes.
He's lovely.
He is. And he is on Sunday night. You can hear the full interview on Radio 1. Tom Deacon will play the first part at 7 p.m. And then Nick Grimshaw has got the second part of the Zac Efron chat from 10 p.m.
It must be well good if it's in two bits.
Yeah. Two-part series. But he is another American star who listens to Radio 1. And he comes across really well on this interview. Because you know those High School Musical types? They,
Oh my God.
Oh my God. They get a little bit Disney-fied
robotic.
Sometimes. When they do the Disney movies, or they do the Disney TV shows, they go to the school of Disney, where they get brainwashed, and then they can't say anything remotely interesting or controversial.
It is amazing, though, when you meet them, and you can see how they've been trained, because when they walk into the room, they look you straight in the eye, and then they say hello to you, and then they look you in the eye, and you, and you, and you, and it's really weird.
No, but they are really nice, and
they're,
really,
they're
really
absolutely
polite.
Lovely. You never meet nicer ones, but you can tell that they've had the treatment.
But you can tell they've
you know what I mean.
They've been to the school of Disney. Hi, how are you?
Oh my God. So want to go to it, do
it's
you?
It's so nice to meet you today.
I'd love to be Disney-fied.
When the Jonas Brothers came in back in the day, when they were first out, I remember they shook my hand about 5 times, and that was just in one meet. Oh my God, thank you so much for having us on. But they would never say anything controversial, that's the thing, and sometimes that's what we want, us radio presenters. They would never lose the plot about Katy Perry's skin-tight jeans like Becky just did.
Do you think I was going to be in the papers?
No. But here's proof that Zac Efron does listen to Radio 1. Listen.
I was listening to your show for like a few weeks.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you talk a lot about your toast. Your toast and your toast is broken.
My toast.
Your toast.
My toast.
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 Yeah, toast.
That's quite a good impression of Grimmie.
Really. Does he have any other words that you've picked up on?
Yeah, he says radio.
Radio.
Radio one.
It's about a good accent. Yeah. She's going Coronation Street.
Would you ever sort of pop over, maybe co-host with Grimmie, one Radio 1 show?
We could do a whole show, just pretend to be you.
Yeah. Next time I'm off.
Yeah, and you could start it and everyone will know it's you. And then you could sort of sneak in and see how long we can.
Yeah, toast.
Amazing. So next time you listen to Grimmie, it might be Zac Efron. You never know. And you won't be able to tell. Now, you know, we've got that cabinet on the stairs at Radio 1 as you come down to the studios. Mm. And it's like a cabinet that you would put awards in.
No, it's like the ones you get at those themed restaurants, isn't it? Where they, like, get a bit of stuff from someone, like, from 20 years ago and then put...
Yeah.
I don't know.
So there's, like, a cup in there that Robbie Williams once drank from or something.
There's an egg of Zane Lowe in there now.
Is there?
Yeah, like a little... I think at Easter they didn't they do a decorating egg competition?
Oh, yeah,
and
there's
a little egg with Zane Lowe, and I keep thinking, as I walk past, expecting it to smell, but I don't think it ever will.
Loads of famous people have passed through these doors every week, and we try and get something off them and put them in the cabinet. So we tried to get something off Zach during the Tom Deacon and Nick Grimshaw interview. It just went wrong.
I don't know. You could cut off a piece of hair or something ridiculous. And
hands down, that would be any other thing.
Laura,
no, there's a pair of
Laura prepared with the world's biggest pair of scissors.
Right. So Laura, who used to work on this show, was thinking, yes, we can get a lock of his hair, Zac Efron's hair, to put in the cabinet.
She wants one for the cabinet, one for hand or happy.
Yeah, of course she does. Yeah. But... as you'll know, the only pair of scissors in here are massive industrial-sized shears. They're huge.
Like off of gardening.
Really off of gardening. I don't know why.
I don't know why they're here. Maybe something to do with Moyles.
I can't actually see them here anymore, but they were in here at the time of this interview. So, Laura gets these massive scissors.
Oh, do you really want to do it? You can do the honours if you like.
No, whoa, this is actually happening.
Just a little bit, Laura. Don't take the quiff off.
So she's got these huge scissors, and she is now about to cut a piece of Zac Efron's hair off. She's been warned to do just a little bit.
Here, at the back. We're going for the back of the head.
Okay. I mean, not that much.
That's a lot. That's quite a thick bit.
Oh, well done, Laura. Really well done.
That's such an awkward... because they didn't want to go, oh my God, you've cut all his hair off, but you can tell that she did.
Apparently he went out to his people afterwards and was like, I think she cut too much off my hair. Like, is there a bald patch now? Seriously. Listen to his reaction when she... actually does the snip of the scissors.
Okay. Not that much.
So, Baldy Efron is on on Sunday, first part of the interview, 7 p.m. with Tom Deacon, and then Sunday night, 10 p.m. second part with Grimmie. And just imagine, after you hear this bit...
Okay. Not that much.
Him being semi-bald for the rest of the interview. Laura went crazy with the scissors.
Radio 1 Podcast.
That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.